Please turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 32 and 33. Proverbs 30, 32 and 33. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Here we learn we should not be surprised by the result of our foolish actions. Butter is produced by violently agitating milk in the churn. Blood will come if you wring the nose or if you blow it too hard. And strife will result if you stir up strife, if you violently agitate men with harsh words or irritate them, provoke them. Earlier on in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And so we can provoke other people to be angry by our foolish actions. The first thing that verse 32 of Proverbs 30 tells us that we can do to provoke people to be angry is, number one, foolishly exalting ourselves. Do you remember when James and John recruited their mother to go ask Jesus if they could sit on the right hand or the left hand of him when he came into his kingdom? How did that affect the other apostles? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 24, it says they were displeased. It says that they were moved with indignation against them. A second way that we can provoke others to anger, according to verse 32 of Proverbs 30, is by devising or thinking evil against someone. The wise man Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20, "Do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter." We all know that private conversations don't always stay private, and even our thoughts about people somehow come out into our words and can become widespread knowledge if we're not careful. So the way to guard against that is to not think evil of people and to not talk evil of people, and you can avoid provoking people to be angry. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it until afterwards." He holds back everything that he thinks. And so this is why verse 32 of Proverbs 30 says, if you're doing this, put your hand to your mouth. Learn to be quiet. Learn when to stop talking, because your words might get you into trouble. And James tells us that not many of us need to be teachers of God's word, because in many things we offend, we stumble. And one of the things we all tend to stumble in is our words. I can, by my words, do some untold damage to people if I'm not careful. And so sometimes people have a right to be angry with us if we've said something or done something foolishly, like is said here in Proverbs 30, verse 32. You remember that Jesus addressed this in Matthew 5, verses 21 through 26, when he said, if your brother has something against you, you fix it quickly. Now, are there times when people don't have the right to be angry with us? Yeah, in that passage, he said in verse 22, if somebody's angry with his brother without a cause. And so sometimes people don't have a cause to be angry. But there are times when you do have a cause to be angry. And so we can provoke people to wrath by exalting ourselves or by thinking evil of them and saying things. And so we need to be aware of that. You know, just as we can provoke other people to wrath and make people angry, and that concerns us in our life, you know, much more than that, and even more importantly, we can, by exalting ourselves and devising evil, provoke God's wrath. In Psalm 7, verse 11, the Bible says, "God is angry with the wicked every day." Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." God is angry with the wicked, and he even on occasion would become angry with men that were generally righteous that were not doing what they ought to do. In Exodus 4:14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses when he kept giving excuses as to why he could not serve the Lord. Or in 2 Samuel 24, God's anger was aroused against David because he numbered Israel and he was boasting in his power. And you know, sometimes when you anger a brother, you anger somebody else, you can do a lot, but sometimes you can't repair that relationship. Proverbs 18 and verse 19 says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle." Thankfully, though, God is not like that. As long as you and I are still living, if God is angry at us because of our sins, because we exalt ourselves and act like we are better than everybody else, or we think evil about other people, if God's angry with us for doing that, you know, if we will humble ourselves and come to Him, that we can be reconciled. God tells us that He's that way Himself. In Isaiah 57, beginning at verse 15, "For thus says the High and the Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made." You know, if God remained angry even after we humbled ourselves before him and confessed our sins, then our souls would fail in hopeless despair, and his purpose for creating us would founder. But thankfully, God is not angry, does not continue to be angry with those that will humble themselves and confess their sins to him. Just as David recognized when he was confessing his sins over Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite in Psalm 51, he recognized in verse 17, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So tonight, you can be reconciled with God. It's your choice. You can believe on his Son, or you can choose not to. And if you don't believe on his Son, John 3:36 says, "The wrath of God abides on you." You can turn from your sin and turn to God, or you can stubbornly continue in your sin and provoke his wrath and perish, as Luke 13:3 says. You can confess the name of Jesus, or you could be like the rulers who are afraid of the Pharisees and they love the praise of men more than the praise of God, John 12, verses 42 and 43. And you could submit to the Lord in baptism, or you could reject the will of God by not submitting, just as the Pharisees and lawyers had done with John's baptism, Luke 7, verse 30. Maybe you've done those first things where you've believed, repented, confessed, and have been baptized to be one of God's children, but maybe you've gone astray and gone back into sin. You know, you can be reconciled with God if you'll ask for forgiveness, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And so whatever your need might be, we pray that you'll be reconciled to God while together we stand and while we sing.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A love light beams across the foam, where the soul never dies. It shines to light the shores of home, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair end, where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand, and the soul never dies. No sad farewell.